Welcome back. This is episode number 28. Excellent. We are going to be talking about something very important, especially for kids my age, how to be smart with money.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this day and age, during COVID. The coronavirus, mm-hmm. and like everyone's working from home, it's really hard to stay motivated and to be rational with money.
A lot of people are going into debt.
A lot of people couldn't work. And Mom is going to tell you how to be smart with money.
Well, I think we're both going to have some ideas.
Mm. And then I'm also going to be talking about the examples that you've taught me, mm-hmm. on how to be smart. Because as a kid, I don't know how to be smart with money. The only example that I've had of
maybe start with
the word of the day.
Word of the day.
But it's on my mind. Can I just say this one thing?
Sure.
Okay. When I was in...
Okay.
When I was in... I think it was...
When I was...
A young boy! My father! Okay. When I was...
A young boy.
Dude, I can't... Every single time someone says that, all I can hear is... A young boy! Okay. As a young child, I'd say... Early middle school, maybe... Great Works.
Okay.
I did a thing called Enterprise City.
Yes.
Enterprise City. And it was all of the students in certain like groups of like 40 people,
mm-hmm.
would go on a school trip to what they called Enterprise City. And it was basically a mock town,
mm-hmm.
with different venues. And like, for example, I was an accountant.
Everybody had a job.
Everyone had a job. People stole money from kids, as kids.
Mm-hmm.
Some people sold stickers. Some people sold food, and I say food in quotes.
Oh, some people made things and sold them.
There was a CEO or a president, mm-hmm. and it was...
There was a bank. I don't remember Gabe. Was he the president? That's funny.
I missed that guy. But yeah, that was my only experience of like what kind of adults. It kind of gets... It's like a faint view of what adult life is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And I say going to be like as I was when I was that young.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's just get on to the word of the day.
All right, then.
Let's start with words of the day.
Okay.
So, both of ours are words.
I think that's the first of ever. Very unusual.
That can't be true. It's not the first ever, but... Let's start with you. That all right?
Sure.
Okie dokie.
Sure. Okay. My word is
wunderbar.
No, that's not my word. My word is copacetic.
Copacetic?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a hospital term. Oh, doctor, the patient has reached... copesthesia. Or wait, the patient is copacetic, what do we do? That's what I think copacetic should be. So like, it doesn't mean brain dead.
Think it is? No,
copacetic, I can only think of it in like hospital terms.
Okay, no reason for that. You're just being you're being confused by certain words, like anesthetic.
Oh, that's still anesthetic. I was thinking of an anesthetician, someone who performs anesthesia.
Anesthetician. Anyway, there's copacetic.
Euthananesthetic. Copacetic. Is this a positive or negative word?
It's a positive word.
Do you care if I ask questions?
No, that's the only way I can get
it's
through
positive
yours.
Positive words? Okay. So, copacetic, would it be, like, describing someone as copacetic?
No.
No. Is it doing something copacetic?
No.
Okay. So, it's not like a...
It's not a verb.
It's a noun?
No.
Like, look at that copacetic over there.
No.
Wow, look at that big copacetic.
Wow, that's huge.
That's what she said.
Oh, my God.
Fine.
Oh, my God, I got boys.
Okay, I'm going to make a loud noise.
No, you can do that.
Oh, really? Okay. That's what she said, then.
Yeah, I heard it.
Uh-huh. So copacetic is a good noun. A person, place, or thing.
It's not a noun.
It's not a verb, a describing word. It's an action word?
A verb is an action word.
So it's a describing word.
Yes.
I asked if it's like something you can describe a person with.
No, it's not. You don't describe a person with that.
Could you describe yourself?
No.
An animal?
No. Maybe it's an adverb. I don't know, honey. You're just asking.
Okay,
so
I'm just
going to
ask
questions.
For the part of speech. Hey Siri. What part of speech is copacetic?
No, you can't say that. No.
It's not going to tell me the definition.
You never know.
Here's what I found from Grammarly.com. Copacetic is an
adjective.
Okay.
Booyah. Okay. Copacetic is an adjective.
Great. Are you any further now?
No.
Okay, then.
Okay.
Okay.
Like, I'm copacetic? I already said that. Can I have a sentence, please?
Sure. You and I went to a movie.
Mm-hmm.
No, never mind.
Okay.
You asked me how I was feeling.
Okay.
And I said, I'm feeling copacetic.
I'm feeling copacetic?
It's a feeling.
Okay.
It's not.
So it's like an emotion.
It's not
almost?
Like, oh, look at that copacetic dangling off my ear. No, that'd be an earring.
I call them dangly bitches.
Do you know?
Yeah, since I got it, actually. I have a dangly earring. Yep, that's it. That's the whole story. I have a dangly earring.
How does that dangly earring make you feel?
Copacetic.
And what does that mean?
Powerful.
No.
Strong.
No.
Good.
Good.
Makes me feel...
Everything's okay. Everything's okay in the world right
good.
Now.
It makes me feel at peace.
It's all good. It's good. Everything is good. It's like
everything is awesome.
How's your song coming along that you're writing? It's copacetic.
The sound is copacetic.
The song
that's
that
what
you're
I meant
writing,
to say.
Yeah, it's copacetic.
Okay, I think I nailed that one on the dot.
I think you nailed it. Maybe
except
not on the
you
dot.
Had the hammer. So
it's like it's very satisfactory, or it's
okay.
It's yep. It's going well.
Okay.
It's on target. It's good.
So, my word of the day.
Is it a verb? Is it a noun?
I don't even know the part of speech, Mom.
How about you just say it?
It's period.
Period.
Exactly. Like period.
Like, in your face.
Kinda, but no.
Like, end of discussion.
Hell yeah.
Is it?
Damn. When someone explains that they are done with the conversation... You literally just said end of discussion. I
end
was just
discussion.
Put to shame.
Yeah,
you just got
you,
my word in
T-minus
15
kinda,
seconds.
Well, you know, the way you spelled it was
period with a T.
P-E-R-I-O. You wrote D-T.
That's what it is.
Okay. Period.
It comes from the rapper Meg Thee Stallion. And she says it in her songs.
Okay.
And like in press.
Okay.
Like news, not like to impress people.
Okay.
Here's an example sentence. I know you ain't talking with your dusty, rusty, musty, crusty ass. Period.
That's pretty similar to period without the T at the end.
Yeah, pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are the words of the day. Pretty
end
anticlimactic.
Discussion. Oh, I don't know. I think it was pretty cool.
Period.
I got it.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Good job, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop.
Do you remember the keyboard, and it had the setting that would go, hoo,
yeah, that was funny.
I used to play Fur Elise on that sound.
Yeah.
It was like, hoo,
oh,
hoo,
was so
hoo.
Awful.
Okay, let's get on with this episode.
Let's get on with the episode. So the episode is about...
About...
How to be smart with money.
How to be smart with money.
Right.
And
you had mentioned that there was a few things that...
You've taught me.
Yeah, let's start there.
So, a couple of things that you have taught me about how to be smart with money. One of the ones I've actually used in, one that I've actually used in life is you should always save half of what you make.
And if you can afford to, yes.
If you can afford to. So, let's say I'm just going to come up with something completely absurd. Mm-hmm. Let's say I make $2,000 a week. Mm-hmm. Every paycheck, which would be what, either weekly or biweekly. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's biweekly, I'd get a $4,000 paycheck. Mm-hmm. 50% of that, $2,000, would go into a savings account. And I would not touch it until I absolutely needed to. Mm-hmm. No matter the, if it's like, oh, I like this game. And like this is for my example, like there's a game that everyone is playing right now. We just got a server for it and I have to buy it, but I don't really have the money at the moment. So I have to wait till my next paycheck. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And this is my first example as an adult. Or even in general of having to put money aside and not touch it. Because when I turned 18, I decided that I didn't want to go to college.
Do you remember why that started?
Because it's hella money.
Well, do you remember why I had you put half of it away?
Because, no, I have no idea. Oh, because we would use it for, like, if we wanted to go to college tuition. Or, like, if something you're passionate about, like a career.
After high school.
After high school.
Right.
So, mine was modeling.
Right.
And
so, you put half of your paycheck away every single paycheck.
Until I was 18.
And yeah, until you graduated. Until
I still do every single paycheck.
Yeah, because now you know the value of it. And that money was your money. I never took it. It was just your money in your savings account.
I remember you guys would periodically put money in our savings accounts. Mm-hmm. And I liked the feeling of having, like, a parachute, you know? If I have some catastrophic thing that happens in my life, I'll have money to get back on my feet.
Exactly.
And that's something that a lot of kids, that's what it is, a safety net.
Yep.
A lot of kids don't understand is, or I feel like me personally, I relied on you too much when I rely on you too much for money, and I'm scared to, like, work full-time because then I have absolutely no opportunity to go back to being a kid. I am forever an adult, and that terrifies me. I don't know why, because I had a good childhood, but for the parts I remember, because traumatic experiences are usually pushed into the back of your brain, mm-hmm. the ones I remember are good memories. And so I am just thankful that you taught me that thing, but there are other things that you've taught me, and may I?
Absolutely.
So you also taught me the credit card versus debit card. Mm-hmm. And this one is very, very, very important. Mm-hmm. So a credit card is something that I don't think I'll ever have, and it is basically the bank's lending you money for a month, and then by the end of the month you have to pay off all of that money, or your credit score goes down,
or you pay interest.
So let's say
a lot of interest
sometimes. Let's say you spend like $10,000 in a month and you don't pay it off, mm-hmm. then you have to pay them like $15,000.
The way it is set up is credit card companies are like any other company. They want to make money. And they're banking on the fact that you will overspend and not have the money at the end of the month to pay it off. Because if you pay off everything you put on a credit card, when that card is due, they can't charge you interest because you've paid it off. But people get stuck in the minimum payment. Oh, I'll just make the minimum payment. So I grew up like that. You know, when I was a kid, it was like everybody wanted to get a credit card. And I remember really quickly that credit card hit $5,000. And
did you have that? Did you have $5,000?
No, okay. No. I would make minimum payments. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is so ridiculous. And if you look at credit cards, if you don't pay off the whole amount, then you'll see what they charge you for interest. And it's huge. It could be, like, depending 30%? On, it could be anywhere from, nowadays it's like 18%, 21%. I think when I was a kid, it was closer to 12 or 15. But if you don't make that full payment, you could literally have $150 in an interest charge that now just rolls into it. And it just, went on and on and on. It was terrible. It was not a good thing. And I wasn't really taught about how to use a credit card and how not to get
into debt. Well, because I remember you saying that when you were younger, talking about money was taboo. So yeah, you had to learn it as your own.
There wasn't really, we didn't talk about money in my house, you know, we didn't. So if you have a credit card, because there are reasons to have a credit card, the right credit card, you could get
miles.
Points for miles or mm-hmm. points for shopping anything. However, if you don't pay it off each month, whatever you put on it, then you're going to get into trouble because then you're just spending money for nothing. And it's not good. It accumulates really fast.
Yeah, and something, my life goal, which I think is a great goal, and it's kind of difficult to do, is to never be in debt. Mm-hmm. And to do that, mm-hmm. I need to be careful of, like, subscriptions mm-hmm. and, like, for example, like, student loans is something that literally breaks people.
Mm-hmm.
And...
But there's other things that you'll have to have debt on, like car insurance or a car.
See, I'm going to openly admit I don't pay for my car insurance.
Yeah.
You pay for my car insurance.
Right.
And I want to someday pay for my own car insurance and pay for my own like phone bill because that is something that I need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So
the big debt things are you buy a house, you buy a car. School loans, those are the huge debt, and credit cards.
Those
are the big ones. So if you can avoid that, awesome. Or what you do is don't spend more than you have. I mean, literally make a budget. I make this much money. That means if I'm going to put half away for future, even if you don't put half away, I'm going to put some money away or however much, but what you have to do is say, this is what I have to spend each month. And then you have to track it. You know, I've got this much, so that's what I'm not going to spend more than that, because that's when you start getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. So,
do you mind if I ask Siri a question real quick?
Go right ahead.
Hey Siri, what percent of U.S. citizens are in debt?
Oh my, that's a good question.
Okay. You just ruined my Siri.
She was answering right now.
Yeah, but she got the end of your question, so she was looking up the wrong thing.
Okay, I'm sorry for complimenting you. Let's move on.
Never compliment me again.
I never, ever, 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 ever.
Stop!
Will! Now go ahead and ask your girl, Siri. Okay.
Hey, Siri. What percent of U.S. citizens are in debt?
Percent of us citizens are in debt. Check it out.
80%.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but you know, a house is debt.
Yeah. Whenever you're spending more than when you're making.
Well, no. I mean, you're going to have some debt that you can still pay as you go on. How else could you buy a car? Debt is just money you owe. But in debt, that's like upside down, you owe more than you make. And that, and I don't know which one she's referencing. Plus she said, okay, us citizens instead of U.S.
So here are some facts about American debt.
Okay.
80% of Americans have consumer debt.
Mm-hmm.
Americans have $14 trillion in debt collectively. Which is more than our
forefathers? More than our
freaking government. Our government is like a couple trillion. No, I think it's like 300 trillion.
Mm.
Never mind, dude. I'll be honest. America's not great with money.
No.
Mortgage debt is the biggest debt in America.
Well, that makes sense.
With nearly $9.5 trillion collectively.
Yeah, but you can't live without. I mean, you can rent or you could buy. But you have to have a roof over your head.
Only 1 in 3 Americans have a written budget.
Interesting, huh?
19% of Americans have $0 set aside for an emergency.
Isn't that sad?
Almost half of the families in the U.S. live paycheck to paycheck.
That's awful. I've lived that way. It's awful.
I don't want to ever live that way.
No, and you can prevent it by how you start.
I need to, so there are, I don't know if these are real, but there were, oh, were you about to say something?
I actually was.
So what are some tips or things you know how to be smart with money that I haven't mentioned about you? So not anything about credit cards, debit cards, not anything about,
well, actually, no, not, you can't say that.
Nothing
just
about,
let me be me. Okay. Let me be me.
That's a song I put out.
Let me be me.
Sometimes I wonder why I see these things.
So there are certain times of year that you may spend more money, correct?
Like Christmas.
Like Christmas or birthdays or, you know, holidays where you want to do a little something extra for fun. So what you can also do is have, you can have your checking and your savings, right? And keep money in your savings, half your check or however much that you can put in or want to put in, because it's really, really smart to do that. And then you can have a third account. You can create another savings account and throw in maybe $10 a week. $10 a week.
For like a vacation.
So $20 each paycheck for vacation, for Christmas money. So by the time Christmas comes, you have $10 a week is what? $520, right, in that year. $10 a week will give you $520 to spend on Christmas, which it's a no-brainer. But if we don't put that aside, then you have to start digging into either savings or depending on what you want to buy. And I think spending so much money on Christmas is awful anyway, but
yeah,
but like people do it. You want to give your friends gifts, your family gifts, and all that kind of stuff. They don't have to be big gifts, but that time of year, now you're spending extra money during that time of year that you may not have budgeted. So budgeting is really, really important. So if you have...
Agreed.
Right. So just set up
a little book.
Well, what you can do is, you know how you auto deposit your checks?
Yeah.
You can say, I want this much in checking. You can do that. So you don't have to swap it. This much in checking, this much in savings, and then you can put one. So banks used to have you say, set up a Christmas account and, you know, put so much money in. And it's very smart. But so,
and they
you
don't
can
say
do
that anymore?
Well, I don't hear much about it anymore, but
I'm
sure.
You don't go out much.
All right, let me move on.
Okay.
So what you could do is set up a third account that's a savings account. Mm-hmm. And with your paycheck, if it's every 2 weeks, you could either put $10 or $20 and just have it automatically go there. And you don't think of it. You don't look at it. You don't do anything. So that's one way. Put it down. Focus, Lisa.
I thought it was listen.
So that's one way that you can.
Linda.
Linda.
Listen, Linda. You anyway, haven't heard that video in a long time.
That's hilarious. So anyway, that's one way that you can be smart with money is you know you're going to spend a little extra during certain times of the year, so throw a little over there in an account you won't really look at. You don't think of it as one of your normal accounts. So that's another way. As I said, credit cards can be good if you pay them off every month because you can get things like points for travel, and that's a big deal. They add up over time. So credit cards can be good as long as you don't overspend. You need to have a budget. If there's something big you want to buy, then throw $10 a week for that. You know, something little that it's a no-brainer, and all of a sudden you have the money for it. That type of thing. Another thing you can do, which sounds really silly, but every time you spend money, well, you guys now, probably most of you do debit for everything. You don't do cash.
Not often.
So if you were to use cash and you get change, throw all that change in a jar. Just, it's pennies, it's quarters, it's nickels,
I do that.
It's dimes, and they add up.
They do.
And then you can say, I want this one thing. I don't really want to spend extra money on it. But once that jar fills, then I can buy it. So silly things like that, they really will work, okay?
It's not so much that they're silly. They are silly, but they're also practical.
They're very practical, and it's just another way to tuck aside some money, right?
Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, honestly, how many jars of coins do I have?
So
many. And when we used to go on vacation, we dump that money, bring it to the bank, and oh my gosh, there's like $400 in here, because it would just, everybody's change would go into it. You know, people don't use cash as much, but you can. You can also have a jar and throw a dollar bill in it now and again. You can do something. So this is what some people would do, is they'd make a jar. Adults would do this, and it was kind of fun. If you say a naughty word.
Oh, the swear
you
jar.
You put a quarter in a the swear jar. Yeah, anything yeah. like that.
It also gives you incentive to
be
better.
It gives you incentive, yes. So one of the big things that I did to get us out of debt was, we put an addition on the house, mm-hmm. you take a loan, you do this, it's never that easy, then you end up spending more money and all that. So we ended up having credit card debt. However, we had good credit. And that makes a difference. So it's really important to have good credit. What I did was I would start getting these mailings from different credit card companies saying, oh, you can have, I'll give you 0% for 18 months and there's no transfer fee, there's no this, there's no that. I'm like, all right, I can work with this. So I applied for one. We had big debt at one point when we made all the changes mm-hmm. to the house. So I'm like, okay. I'm going to apply for that. So I got it, and they would only give you so much. And what I'd have them do is write the check directly to the credit card I wanted paid off by another credit card company. It can't be the same company. And they would put money down on that. It wasn't enough to pay the whole thing off, but a huge chunk of it, which saved me interest for the 18 months. And then what I'd do is that new card, that, let's say I paid off $10,000, right? On this new card, as soon as I got it, I put it away. I never once used it, ever, ever, ever. That's what they want you to do, is mm-hmm. use it. So, no, I put it away. Never had it, or I cut it up. And then I would figure out on paper, okay, I have 18 months to pay off this $10,000. So I do the math, divide that by however many months, and this is how much I have to pay every month toward that. Now, if it was a bigger amount than I had, I tracked this. I can't even tell you. I went through 3, 4, 5 different credit card companies, and I did it. And I was so good at it because I would keep track of it. And when I did my bills, I'm like, oop, nope, I got plenty of months left. Once I had about 4 months left and I knew I couldn't pay it off, but I made a big chunk of it interest-free, which the other company would have probably charged me $100 to $200 a month in interest. Once I was getting close to, oh, I don't have enough to pay that off, I was getting cards left and right in the mail. I'm like, all right, I'll take that one.
And then you'd start
cycling over
again.
And then I'd roll off that one. Yes, and I did it. It probably took me 3 years, maybe. Maybe 3 years. And I paid off $45,000.
How much did you actually pay?
That I paid off that, but instead of adding the interest every single month, which would have made that, say, 45 into literally 90 or 80 or something, I played that game. And I still play that game now and again, if I need to or if I want to, which I don't do it lightly at all.
You go into it.
Yeah.
Because you don't do it often,
so there was a year that we had to pay taxes, way too many taxes. The money coming out was not right, you know, how we had set it up. And there was a year there was like $18,000 in taxes, which is ridiculous, or $12,000 or whatever it was. So what do you think I did? I got a credit card for interest-free. So initially, they would let you do a transfer for free. Now it's like a 3% fee, which sounds awful because it might be $300. However, what you're saving every single month for years way, way covers that. So that's the game I played. And I'm sure the credit card companies don't like me because I don't use them and I just pay them off and move forward. So in my bills, I pay bills weekly, and in my bill folder, I probably have at least 6 cards if I need them. And then as they get old, I toss them and I'll throw new ones in just in case I ever need them. I've been doing that for, well, I think I was pregnant with Reese when we made some of the additions mm-hmm. on this house. So 18 years.
I can't believe he's already 18.
Right. So that is really, you know, there are creative ways to make money work for you. Now, I highly don't recommend going in debt. You know, if you don't have the money, then don't buy it. And then you won't even be in that position. But I'm pretty creative when I need to be. And that made all the difference in the world. So that's another way. If you have to.
All right.
All right.
I think that's it.
Unless you can think of other ways.
Actually, yes. So there is an app. We're not sponsored by anything, but if we were to be sponsored by an app, I would love it to be this one. It's called Acorns, or Acorn.
Acorn. Mm-hmm.
And it's an app that puts every single transaction you make on a card. It'll round up and then put the change in the stock market.
It's like the change jar.
Yeah, only basically.
You do it that way. Right.
And
but that's stock market.
But also, it's just change. So like 30 mm-hmm. cents every single right. purchase, or like 50 cents, maybe even like 10 cents.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also an option to where you can't touch that money for like 5 years,
mm-hmm.
10 years. And I just made an account. I don't know how to connect my card yet, mm-hmm. but I just made an account to where when I do start putting money into the stock market, I won't be able to touch it for 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And well, you don't necessarily want to do that unless it's a very, very, very safe stock.
No, it's all like computer.
I know, but different stocks have different levels of how aggressive they are and how safe they are.
So well, you can choose whether you want to use safe stocks or
right, but if you don't, I wouldn't recommend not being able to touch it because you could just lose every penny and you can't touch it.
But it was just spare change.
Right, but if you see it going down, because you have watched those before,
yeah,
then you would do something or move it. Just slide it here or slide it there. That's a really cool way. But yeah, those apps are really kind of cool.
Yeah, also, if you like go into college for stocks, you can make so much money. Like, yeah. Just if you're with the current...
Well, you have to stay up on it, yes.
That's your job. Your job mm-hmm. is to stay up on it.
Exactly.
I think that's about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any other ways. Oh, you know, another way is if you can make passive income.
Mm, correct.
That's a really, really cool way.
So, like, for example, well, we, for this podcast, are trying to start, like, a little Patreon /, like, paid content type of thing where mm-hmm. the behind-the-scenes stuff,
like a membership.
For example, when we swear, like, the F word. Or our little, like, voice memos that we have when we watch TV.
Oh,
those
gosh,
can
yeah.
go on to the...
Tape it, tape it. Plus record.
Exactly.
Press record.
Press the button. And I'm, like, trying to get onto the app. And you're like, press it. Have you pressed the button?
I got a great idea.
And then by the time I press it, you're like, oh, man, the idea's gone. Or you have a brilliant idea.
And so do you. We have good ideas. But, like, passive income, that's one way.
So, like, you pay... Like, Netflix is making passive income.
That's passive income.
Hundreds of millions of people.
I wrote a book.
You did write a book.
I wrote a book that is making me passive income without marketing, which I should be marketing. But there are ways to make passive income. You can become affiliates with a lot of different companies, which is really kind of cool. You should check into this.
Oh, I've heard.
You should become an affiliate. You know, they have them for everything. Amazon, you can be an affiliate.
I'd like
software,
to be an affiliate for,
like
clothing
if there's
brand
a,
or something.
You could do that. But if there's, like, a software you use a lot, you can be an affiliate for them, which means you recommend it to people. You
know. And if they use your link or your code.
Right, and
they
let them know
they
that
get
you're
like
an affiliate. 20%
off or 25% off, and you get a cut.
And you get some. So there are many ways to also make passive income, and that's a really good thing. You just have to Google passive income and see which one might work for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
there are a lot of ways in this day and age that you can
be smarter
with your money.
Right.
And if any of these were new facts to you, let us know. Let us know in either my Instagram, mm-hmm. which is your boy Noel, URBOINOEL. Or your Facebook or Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. which is, I'm pretty sure, just Leslie Parker.
I think so.
I can put it into the description of the episode. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Yeah, I think it's time to say those magic words.
Oh.
We bid you adieu. Man, this was a good one. I hope you guys learned something from this. All right. Good night, guys.